We're Lancer Radio, streaming live at lancerradio.org. Veronica Reyes describes herself as a poet for El Barrio, and she says that she writes to give voice to her communities. We're going to talk a little bit now, as she's in studio with me, about the community she's talking about in her poetry. And by the way, don't miss her reading this upcoming Saturday at noon, if I have that correct. Is that correct, Veronica?
Yeah, it's correct. 12.
At the Author's Lounge over in Memorial Park as part of San Gabriel Valley Pride's Pride Festival. Pride is. Let's start with some of the communities that have most influenced you as a writer. What would you say those are?
I'm usually talking about the geographical as well as the, you know, the immigrant experience and what it means to be queer, ultimately, to be a queer Chicana or a Jota. And so it could be very different, actually, when you're at in academia and then you're at home, specifically East L.A. So, I mean, I lived in East L.A., El Paso. I used to live in Long Beach. And Long Beach has this reputation as being the dyke town. It's very queer-oriented. And I lived in Toronto. So each little facet is, in some sense, a different community, but it's a contributing factor to who I am, right? You have the relationships you have with your family, and then eventually, and, you know, the ideal family, again, of course, with queers, our relationship there and how we, at times, take care of each other on the streets when we completely don't know each other, but your family, and that's what matters.
Let's explore this a little bit, because that's important. I've heard some of the young people here say, you know, for example, being a part of the QA here has saved their lives. I'm going to feel awful weird using the word queer to describe a gay person, so if you don't mind, I'll just refer to you as gay, or would you rather be called lesbian or gay?
I use the term lesbian or jota.
Okay. So what does that mean, being a lesbian when you're Latin American? That would have to be a major challenge.
Well, within our communities, actually society as a whole, we're very straight oriented, where it's about male and females eventually, you know, having partners and having families and so forth. And when you're not that, you're having to redefine yourself and figure yourself out, who are you? And at the same time, when you're bicultural and your parents come from, in my case, Mexico, and you grew up here, it takes on a different kind of aspect of how do you find your space? And this is also why I apply, contributed to call myself Chicana, because it captures, in some sense, who I am, right? I'm not completely Mexican, but I'm not completely American. I'm living in this border at the same time. That border ideology captures to what does it mean to be Chicano Jota when I'm not really looking at queer nation and so forth, or the idea of being part of the white queer community, because really when we talked about queer politics in the 80s and 90s, it really was white queer communities. It wasn't until, unfortunately, right, AIDS and so forth, that people started to really open up and started, well, what about other communities that are affected by this? And Bienestar came into alignment, I think, in the 90s and so forth. So you're really kind of traversing all of these communities. And so by calling myself a Chicano Jota feminist, it captures who I am as an individual.
What was most helpful to you in finding your space as a Chicana lesbian and a writer?
Well, meeting other people that were just like me, mm-hmm. right? Meeting other Jotas. And for me, attending MOX, which is a higher institution for higher education. It's like NOCS, so MOX stands for Mujeres Activas en Letras en Cambio Social. And that was pivotal in the sense that I started attending in the mid-90s. And they have summer institutes, and it's only a week session, but it's only for Chicano Latinos in higher education and artists and community members. So you're with all these women who are having similar experiences to you as well. Mm-hmm. And you suddenly realize, wow, there's other people who are going through the same stuff I'm going through. And you finally feel like you're at home.
And you find a support group, and that's hugely important. What about in the academic community?
That's always been kind of difficult. So, fortunate for me, I mean, I teach at Cal State LA, and that's predominantly, we're looking like 70% Latinos at that institution, and it's just over the hill from where I grew up at. So by the time I got there, I already had enough experience teaching at El Paso Community College, Humber College in Toronto. And I did Upward Bound, that I was able to kind of find a niche within that community and just feel at home, because it feels at home there. I like that institution. I like the students who attend that it's kind of very much like a PCC and ELAC and so forth, where these kids are coming in, they're all first generation. And it's nice to be some form of representation for young students to see you, if you want to go to on to be a professor, you want to go into this other route in life or be a doctor or lawyer, so forth. There are other people who are doing it as well, right?
You're a role model.
I try not to see myself that way, but in some sense, you are.
You are. You seriously are. What would you say to a young person who comes into your classroom and he or she doesn't like writing, they got the little frowny faces on their papers, and this is not for them? How do you inspire a child or a young person like that?
I usually tell them my story. I usually tell them. I didn't like writing. I had a distaste for it. I didn't want to go to English class, too. Whenever I got my papers, and I kept some of my papers from high school, they were completely marked up in red ink, and I usually joke around, it looks like a drive-by. I mean, it's a horrible, metaphor, but it's something to get them to recognize that just because you're an English instructor or the opener in the class doesn't mean that you enjoyed it in the beginning. Like, you struggle. And eventually realize it's little steps that take you to get into the completed process and then figure out what you actually enjoy. And then some of them really do enjoy writing in the end.
I would love to hear another of your poems. We're probably going to have to do that when we come back because we're starting to run out of time. I would be interested to know, with the communities that you've lived in, what are some of the most important things they've taught about you, about yourself as a human being and yourself as an artist?
The idea of humanity, dignity, one of the things I do about taking the bus is not just economics, but it gets you grounded and it gets you real. Because you see people taking the bus and they're pulling out their pennies, they're pulling out their money just to make the fun. Because as you know, if you take the bus now, there's no transfers really from bus to bus anymore the way it used to be. So it gets you kind of grounded in who you are and makes sure that you don't get too above yourself. And you keep it real in terms of why are you doing what you're doing. And I started writing because I thought we need different voices out there and to capture these experiences that reflect different aspects of the barrio life. It's not just these two writers. And we always hear of Shri Moraga and Gloria Anzundua, which are great writers. But they're not the only Chicana lesbian writers out there. There are plenty of us. And part of it is the difficulty is gaining publications and so forth.
When we come back, I would love to hear a little bit more about your project, Chopper Chopper, which is coming out on October 1st. You and I are listening to Veronica Reyes, and we'll also get to hear another of your poems, hopefully. This is Dot with Lancer Radio, Dot Cannon with Over Coffee. We'll be back in just a moment here on LancerRadio.org.